Welcome, and thanks for joining me today on Mortgage Manager Playbook, a podcast for sales leaders who want to improve their team's sales performance and originate more loans. I'm Pat Sherlock, your host.
Today's Fixing the Broken Sales Model is 2025, the Roadmap for Operational Excellence. I have the perfect expert, that's Jennifer Fortier. Jennifer is well known within our industry. She has her own advisory company. Prior to that, she was with Strathmore. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Good. Well, let's talk about this because 2025 is right around the corner. And I know when we talked the other day, there are things that you see that are really kind of, I think, red light and red flag issues. So why don't we talk with that and then talk about how you think 2025, from an operational standpoint, what they should be focusing on?
Sure. So what I'm seeing a lot of working with lenders, and I've always seen this, is that it's really hard to get grounded in what you need to focus on. So on the sales side, you know, what do you focus on the process? What do you focus on to help support those loan officers? And I see lenders sort of floundering around trying to figure out a roadmap. How do we get there? How do we figure out exactly how to put a program together that we can believe in and trust and sort of approach all of this with a little less of kind of guessing and throwing darts, so to speak, and to be a little bit more methodical. So that's where, you know, when we talk about this roadmap and what you should focus on going forward, whether it's next year or at any point, it's how do you create a good roadmap? How do you you go in with a real clear vision of what you're trying to accomplish? And this is where I see the stumble. It's a lot of, again, throwing the darts to try to get to the right solution.
So what are the main reasons why when they reach out, and obviously they obviously know something's the matter, or they wouldn't be reaching out to a third party? And so normally, what are the types of issues that really should, or what you see? And then what do you find that what they think's the problem is never the problem?
It's usually what I typically get is, come tell us the little thing to fix, the little things we shouldn't be doing, you know, the little tweak we can make and everything will fall into place. And that's seldom the case. Usually there is a collection of those kinds of things, but it's usually much broader than that. And where the problem starts. So when you're, to kind of back up a little bit, when you're creating this roadmap, it really is about two things to me. It's about avoiding the traps and then getting methodical. I keep using that word, kind of getting really good at approaching problem solving and improvement in a really methodical way. And I see lenders stumble on this all the time. So it's very common for me to go in, they're asking for it, tell me what to tweak. And I bring back to them a broader set of problems and a much more less detailed, you know, here's where you need to focus on improving. And my recommendation is, go get good at that, and then you can start to dig into the details. But I can very seldom bring a list of, if you just make all these little tweaks, everything will be solved for you. That almost never happens.
So talk about, and I know when we spoke the other day, it's normally something's driven like, oh, it takes too long to close the loans, or those issues are the little tweaks you're talking about, that they think that there is just one little issue and this is why they're not closing on time.
If the problem is we're taking too long to close, if you could just tell us how to better use our LOS, if you could just tell us what the screen should look like, if you could just tell us where to put the check boxes. And that's never, it's just never the answer. It's not to say there isn't good things that can happen by looking at those things, but it never solves that big problem. It's usually, you know, where to put the checkbox is part of a much larger focus on, you know, and then you start looking at why is the checkbox going to save us all this time, or where's the magic in that? So that's what it is. They're usually, and you know, you have to think about it from the lender perspective. Everybody's trained to think about every minute little detail. So when they come to me and say, help us figure this out, their mind is on those minute little details, because that's what you do every day. And so part of my objective is, okay, we got to pull back and take a much bigger look at this. And so I, you know, I feel for lenders in that their world is in these very minute details. So, you know, I'm here to help you kind of pull back and look at it a little bit more holistically. But yeah, your example is great. You know, we can't close our loans as fast as we want to close it. Come and help us. And they're usually focused on that system. and very seldom focused on the people part of it. So it's a great example of one little tweak is never going to fix that. You're not going to gain 10 days suddenly from fixing a few little things.
It raises the question that now that you are talking about it. And so is it an issue mostly, if you had to say, looking back in the last year and all your recent assignments, is it an issue of that the employees don't know how to use some of the technology, or is it more fundamental that how they get a loan closed is a mystery of life because it's done differently by everybody?
It's a little bit of all of that, but your example of not knowing how to use it, I think here's a common problem that I see. Lenders purchase a new point of sale, for example. Mm-hmm. And one reason, one of their goals may have been, and I hear this commonly, is we want to be able to be really good at providing scenarios, right, at the loan process, at the start of the application. We want to be able to provide loan scenarios to the borrowers. So they buy a new point of sale solution that's really good at doing mm-hmm. that. And then I talk with loan officers, this thing's been in place maybe 2 years, and they don't even know that functionality exists. So that really kind of brings back to, how did you get to a situation where you went through all the effort of buying a new POS, and right. you've got loan officers that don't know it exists? And there's all sorts of reasons why that happens. And what I try to do is, let's try to, I know those reasons. I can bring those reasons to you. So let's try to deal with those right up front so that you don't find yourself 2 years in and not getting the value that you wanted out of it.
And so when you're talking about the gap, is the gap actually the reality of what the senior leadership is looking at and actually what is actually working in the field? Because it can be certainly two different things. What is the real, most of the time it's that the senior leadership doesn't understand what actually it takes to close a loan because they haven't been involved with it for years, or what is it that you see mostly at lenders?
I think it's there's a gap between when you make this decision to go and solve a problem. So in this mm-hmm. example, you know, scenarios, I'm going to solve this problem, and the way I'm going to solve it is to buy a new point of sale solution. And right there, the gap starts because it often doesn't get well translated to the project team. So when, or it may be at the executive level where you might say, okay, you want a POS that does scenarios really well. What's a good scenario situation look like to you? And they can't explain it. And right there, you've got a little bit of a problem because you don't know what you're shooting for. And then mm-hmm. it begins to trickle. So then you give it to a project team who may or may not have known that's why they're buying that point of sale. Mm-hmm. And then the project team implements based on what they think it should be. And then every step, then we hand it off to trainers, then we hand it off to loan officers and managers. And every step of the way, you're losing something. I think that's what's happening.
Well, that's why they should hire a third party, because you're exactly right. Because all these little hidden things end up being what ends up, and I hear this from lenders all the time, that what they thought was the problem wasn't really the problem. And that took so long for them to figure that out on their own that it never actually occurs. So when you look at next year, 2025, and so AI and all these other things coming into play. So what are the things that you think lenders should be focusing on about fixing this roadmap? Because the roadmap is certainly definitely changing.
I think what I would tell lenders is, as you're venturing into these new, there's new tools, the AI yeah. is one of them, but there's these whole suites of tools that you can implement in your process. And ideally, most of them could be pushed way to the front in the sales process, so you have a faster, more informed loan officer. I think as you explore those opportunities, you have to resist the temptation to, you know, I heard about this great thing and I saw a 10-minute demo, we ought to buy that. Mm-hmm. And to go much, much further and think about, if we did buy that, why? What's the impact we're hoping for? And then you can test against that expectation. Let's really look at how could we even incorporate this into our process today? Mm-hmm. If so, why? You know, why would that work? Why would that have the impact we hope it would have? And if we can't, what can we do to fix it? So I think it's really just think really hard up front. And if you do that, you can I think you can have some success. So in the AI space, for example, which is talk, think really hard about what does that tool really do? What should it replace in your process? What has to change about what you do? What is this going to look like? You have to kind of envision it before you go there. And I think AI is going to be an important one, because this is going to change the nature of how loan officers interact with their leads, their prospective borrowers. So you got to think really hard about what does that conversation look like now? What does that touch point with the borrower look like now? So think real hard, look at the AI, look at all those suites of tools that are automating some of the processes, and just don't just blindly dive in. You have to have that plan before you go. And those really are the two things I'd be looking at from a sales perspective, is how can I use the automation tools and what is this AI thing going to do to me? Because it's not only when I get it, and it's a when, I think, I don't think it's an if, when I get it, how am I going to incorporate it? And what's happening when other lenders are getting it and changing my competitive field? So I think that's got to be sort of top of mind.
So talk about this issue, and I certainly, when you look at over the last few years, and obviously we have had lower volume, but when you look at the actual cost to originate, and the numbers are still pretty frightful, a lot of technology really hasn't, and we've had more technology than ever. Is it because we haven't really strategically thought about how to use the technology, and we've just added it, but the costs really haven't come down, and they've all been pretty sizable for sure?
Yeah, we keep piling on technology and crossing our fingers and hoping for the best. Some of it you have to do. It's just table stakes, you know. So that's kind of unfortunate that we're adding on cost and you know, it's not really providing much benefit beyond your competition, say. I think there's a lot of issues. I wish everything was as easy as you, if you just fix this one thing, in good shape. I think a lot of it is not deploying the product well and not doing that upfront thinking really hard, just kind of buying this product, crossing your fingers and hoping it's going to work. I think that's a problem. I think another problem is, you know, we are not there, and I don't think we want to be there, where the loan officer is completely detached from the borrower. There's still a lot of personal interaction. So I think there's still lots of loan officers that need help in that arena, you know, figuring out how to relate to the member or the borrower, been in the credit union space there, how to relate to the borrower, how to talk to them, how to get them through their fears, how to educate, all that sort of thing. You know, they still need training there. I think AI can help here. Actually, this is where I think you could use that tool to help loan officers do a little bit better. And then there's just institutional issues. You know, do borrowers want to do business with that institution? You know, so this marketing aspects. I think there's so many facets to this. If you try to hit on just one, it's going to be hard to see a big improvement. I think you kind of have to hit all of them all the time. Yeah. So see, piece of cake, right?
No, it's not. That's for sure. But talk about, and I see this on the sales trading side, is some of this really a problem of that we have an older workforce and we have this wonderful technology, and in essence, they're hesitant to adapt to it. And so we keep talking about, oh, that we need to bring young people in. But the reality of it is, it's still an older workforce. And what I see, I mean, I say maybe it's just the people I'm seeing, but they can't even work Zoom. I mean, it's like, what? You know, it's,
yeah, I see less of that, but when I see it, it's very problematic. It's not, you know, I feel like if you learned how to make mortgages, you're a pretty smart person. You can figure out Zoom. We can help you figure that out. So I don't think it's like you can't overcome that. But it's a mindset that I'm not sure you can overcome, because typically my borrowers don't want to be on Zoom. They want to come and they want to drive 20 minutes and see me face to face. And I would challenge that. I wonder how many actually do. And I know there's borrowers out there that want to go old school, but that is a dwindling percentage of borrowers. So it's, you know, you can't help but wonder, are these loan officers with that mindset going to dwindle along with them? And I think so. I think they will.
Well, it raises the question about why isn't technology used? And I think that's the case that certainly I see. I mean, I actually see loan officers who don't even know how to work the LOS system. And so, I mean, that's pretty common, whether we want to admit it or not. So what's the story with that? And it's not that, I mean, I think lenders don't usually train on sales techniques, but they definitely train on system usage, or most of them do. Is it the quality of that training, or is it that they in essence, there's some problem that seems to be pretty pervasive within the industry?
I think the quality of training is definitely an issue. It's very difficult to, you train and you think everybody gets it and then you go away. And you have to put some kind of program in place to follow up. And it has to be very one-on-one because, you know, Pat got it the first time and she was off to the races.
Yeah.
And little do I know, Jennifer's over here still kind of not really understanding how to leverage it in my process. And eventually I'm just going to kind of quit using it. So how do you figure out who's off to the races, who are the Pats and who are the Jennifers and go figure that out can be really challenging. But typically one training, two trainings, three trainings, and you think everybody's good is not the case. The other piece of it, and this is, I don't know how to solve for this, but there's often when it comes to technology, whether the way it's configured or the way it's coded, who knows, but something about it gets the loan officer so close, almost perfect. But this one little thing that doesn't work well causes them to do a workaround. And if there's maybe two little things that cause it, and then you do an update, now there's three little things. These are all incentives for that reluctant loan officer to move away from, or even the not so reluctant loan officer to start to move away from it. So there's a problem there too. And I don't know how to solve for it because first you have to know what the root cause is.
Mm-hmm.
Often I see there's no way, you know, you've got a product that's just never going to do what you need it to do. So that's hard to solve for. So I think it's a little bit of all of those things. You know, I would tell a lender, the first thing you have to do is remove every obstacle for the loan officer that you can, because it take the workarounds out, take, you know, whatever it is that's causing them to not want to adopt it or to not understand it or to make it confusing. You first have to try to remove all of those. That's your responsibility. Before you ask the loan officer, you have to get on board with this. So it's, you know, again, hitting it from both ends. You got to go from both sides, I think. So nothing's a clear answer. You know, nothing's a straightforward.
Well, I do find it, and I'm curious what you think about it, is that when we interview loan officers, their technology proficiency should be part of that evaluation. Of course, all we do is look at numbers and we think that's, we're going to make it better because we have better systems. But when you get a lot of the stumbling around, it is tied together that maybe this is a new system. I mean, I hear this in classes all the time, that it's a new system and they're not that familiar with it. And so there is this gap. So you could have done a lot of loans in the past lender, but you weren't going to do them here. And so because it's something different. And so do you think this would be, or do you encourage the lenders to kind of look at the technology capability of the individual if in fact you are now investing in all of this technology?
Absolutely. And you know, I would tell, again, comes from both sides. I would tell a loan officer to do the same. If you feel that you're not able to get the bulk of your work done, get what you expect out of that, you need to communicate with the lender. I so often see loan officers suffering in silence. And then product owners, like whoever it is that owns the point of sale, for example, is clueless, which, you know, they shouldn't be, but they're clueless that the loan officers aren't happy or aren't using it or, you know, don't think it's the magic solution that the product owner thought it was. So as a loan officer, the best thing you can do is communicate and ask, and you may get a no, but you're doing your lender a favor. You're doing your employer a favor by keeping them informed of where it's missing out. So that's what I would tell loan officers. And then what I would tell product owners, wherever that is in the lender space, is go follow these people around. So again, I keep coming back to this, hit it from both sides.
Sure.
But I do think, you know, loan officers should ask for it. They should be trained. Product owners need to make sure they're trained. I would love to see it. I don't know how you do this. I think you could though. I would love to see that part of the success profile. You know, you've got to do this much business. It's got to be a certain quality. We have a lot of quality metrics embedded in compensation now. And, you know, are you following our process, which means are you using our tools? I would love to see that. It's just part of the overall review process.
Well, I would love to see it too, but I think we've been working on that one for many years, as you well know. And so I don't know that that's going to change right down the, in the near future. But let's talk about 2025 again from a lender standpoint, and we've kind of already brushed upon it, but how do you see it? Looks like we might do slightly more volume, but it looks like it's not going to be tremendously different. What are some of the things that they should be working on operationally besides, obviously the roadmap, but talk about the issues that you see the lenders talking about.
It's still process, you know. How do we perfect that process? I think hopefully I am seeing more lenders starting to realize it's that not just the back end process, it really is the sales process. So I'm starting to see a lot of that. And I think that's a good conversation to continue into 2025. One concern I have about 2025, while we will likely get a pickup in business from refinances, hopefully a good bit of it also from increased purchases. But I am a little concerned about that refinance causes everybody to relax again. Oh, we don't have a problem. We're good because we're getting all this business. And loan officers are busy, busy. We're not going to focus on these things right now. And then if it dips again, then we're right back where we were a year ago. So, I would also say for 2025, those lenders who are keeping their eye on the ball and trying to solve for the problems you have today, don't let rising volume solve those problems for you. Keep them front and center. So I do see that coming from lenders. You know, you ask what they're focused on, but they are focused on that. I just think it's so easy to forget it when the business gets good.
Oh yeah, for sure. So talk about this issue, and it's always I think a controversy within the mortgage lending space about we define success many times as how fast we can close a loan. And the question is, does the customer really want speed, or does the customer actually want a good experience? And so we focus on speed as well. We can close it in 2 days. That's fabulous, or something like that. But what percentage of customers actually want that? And what are your thoughts on that? Isn't it all about using technology from the quality standpoint of like, let's make this interaction a great interaction?
I have always been skeptical of this singular focus on turn time. How fast can we close the loan? Just because, and I get it in a refinance environment because you can't have somebody waiting 90 days. It's just not a good experience. But you know, the purchase transaction, there's sort of a minimum amount of, I mean, people need to pack up their house and move out. So there's a certain, or find another home. So there's a certain amount of time. You don't want to promise a 60-day close on a purchase, and you know, we can't close any earlier. But I think most lenders have kind of settled in that, you know, 30 to 40 day in a normal environment. And I think that's largely driven by the borrower preferences. So I'm a big believer in the experience. And I think if you have a really good experience, it probably leads to a very efficient turn time as well. Yeah, so if you're able to get in, like for me, classic Gen X, or you know, a great experience is I can go online, I can do everything without talking to a human. But you'll answer the phone if I call. And that means, you know, at 11 o'clock on a Thursday night, I got my application completed and I got you all of my documents. And from now on, our interactions are very positive. It's about moving forward, you know, not about dragging documents. So that to me is an excellent example of you've given me a great experience and it's been so good that it's probably going to speed up the loan closing process because I had no stumbles, I had no questions, I had no thing I had to get with you about. So I'm a big believer, focus on the experience and not your experience as a lender, but the borrower's experience, because that's another pitfall I see a lot, is lenders looking at, well, you know, how can we be more efficient? Well, but how can you help the borrower be more efficient and happier? And because that's going to To me, that's going to make your transaction so much easier for everybody involved.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. Well, time has flown by, so if you could share maybe a couple takeaways for our audience today, that'd be great.
I would say as you're thinking about your planning, really think hard, do that upfront thinking, think hard about what you're hoping to get out of this, be really clear about what would be a success in any effort that you make. Document it, make sure it carries all the way through to the end. It's all that upfront thinking. Start looking at the automated tools, start looking at AI, and start thinking about how you can change your sales process, not just your back-end process. If you can do those two things, I think you'd be set up pretty well to move forward.
Well, if anyone has any questions for Jennifer, how can they contact you?
They can get me at jennifer@jenniferforche.com. You can find me on LinkedIn as well. I'd be happy to hear from you.
Well, yeah, I'm always thrilled to talk to you because you have such hands-on like, tactical experience, and I think really you have a lot to share for sure. And so I want to thank you for joining us today. And certainly to recommend to our listeners, if you'd like to hear more podcasts, go to patsherlock.com. Thanks so much, Jennifer.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Manager Playbook. You can catch up on all our episodes by subscribing to receive each week a new show. Don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and team members. If you're looking to increase production, call me to discuss my prospecting sales training program, Ramping Up Realtor Referral Sources. Check out my website, www.patsherlock.com.